Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We turn now to Iran, where today it's estimated there are about 500,000 Christians living with harassment, persecution, and even the threat of murder for living out their faith. Open Doors has ranked Iran at number 9 on the 2014 World Watch List. These are countries where Christians are in peril for choosing to be a Christian. The exciting news, though, is that in spite of the spectre of jail and or death, Christianity is thriving in Iran, with as many as 370,000 new Christians declaring their faith from a Muslim background. Among that number are Miriam Rostenpour and Marzia Amirizadeh, who were in Australia just a week or two back with Open Doors. In their book, Captive in Iran, Miriam and Marzia share their account of finding Jesus as young girls in different parts of their country, before meeting later in life at a Bible college in Turkey. When they decided together to return to their home country to share their love of Jesus, their lives take a threatening turn. We started our conversation together with Miriam's personal story of finding faith as a young Iranian girl.
Actually, it's a long story, but it's been 15 years that I converted to Christianity. And I remember from my childhood, I had this passion to know God and to know the truth about Him. And I wanted to have a close relationship with Him. That's why I did many researches. I was looking for Him. And I believe, you know, most Iranians are just born as a Muslim, and because they are tired of the Islamic rules, they are looking for a savior, and they are looking for the truth. And because I had this passion for finding the truth, I believe God revealed the truth to me. And one day I received a booklet from my sister. It was a part of Book of Luke, and it was the title was His Name is Wonderful. And I believe that, you know, the day that I received that booklet from my sister, I met with Jesus Christ, because when I started reading that booklet, I could feel that my heart was deeply moved. And, you know, I could feel the presence of Jesus in my room and right in front of me. And none of those words in the book sounded strange or unbelievable to me, even when I read that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe it was a revelation from Jesus. And I always tell people that Jesus witnessed and delivered to me the good news of salvation even before I had spoken to anyone about Him or had gone to a church. And I remember the same day that I read the booklet, I prayed a prayer at the end of the booklet, and I gave my heart to Jesus without any doubt or second thought.
Marzia, share with us a little of growing up in Iran from your family's perspective and how open you could be about your emerging Christian faith.
Yeah, as Miriam explained, Iran is an Islamic country, and most of the people, I can say, have many problems, and they are under so much pressure. They can't choose how to worship God and how to pray, and most of the people are forced to follow the Islamic rules. And we believe that, you know, this Islamic government started brainwashing children from the very young age at school, and they force them to read Quran and follow Islamic rules. And most of the people, if they don't follow Islamic rules, in, for example, in their workplace, they will lose their benefits. And this situation is even worse for women, because if women in Iran doesn't have equal rights with men. And according to Quran, there are many verses against women that they are under so much pressure because of those Islamic rules.
How did you find your faith, Marzia?
Miriam, it's a long story, but as I grew up in that condition, I always had many questions about God and tried to find more about Him. And I always had many questions, for example, why I had to pray in Arabic instead of my native language, Farsi, and why I have to follow those Islamic rules. And the image that Muslims have of God is one who rules over the human race and punish them for the slightest sins. And in Quran, it's all about the punishment. And that's why I had many struggle and problems with those Islamic rules. But despite all these reservations, I still did my best to follow my religious duties because I thought I need to follow these rules in order to find the God. And I prayed, for example, I prayed namaz, I read Quran for 2 years without fail. But these type of prayer and worshiping were not making me feel any closer to God. On the contrary, they were distancing me further from Him, as they had become a routine action that I was forced to do, not I wanted to do. And for the first time, God revealed His love and revealed the real face of Islam and Muslim in a dream to me through a white horse. And also I had a powerful experience with Holy Spirit the day that God gave me the power of Holy Spirit, and I began to pray in tongues. And because of all these experiences, and also I had the experience of healing in the church for the first time when I attended a church, I had a bad disease, and Jesus healed me. And because of all these experiences, I gave my heart to Jesus.
You met in theological college in Turkey and decided to head back to Iran. What did your evangelism look like when you came back to Tehran?
For the first few months, we didn't know what should we do and how we can serve our people, especially as a woman. And we just started praying and asking God to give us a vision. And praise God, one day I was reading Bible. God showed me that Iran is like a big land, that there is no seed in this land. And He told me that first you need plant some seeds. Then I will grow all these seeds by Holy Spirit. And then we ask our pastor to send thousands of New Testaments to Iran. Because in Iran, there is just a false and distorted version of Bible, which is called Barnabas Bible. It's not a true Bible. And that's why we decided to put the right Bible in people's hands. And again, for them, it wasn't easy. They had to find an illegal way to smuggle all those New Testaments. And praise God, after a few months, we received those testimonies. And we started our first mission in Tehran. And usually at night, we carried about 114 New Testaments in our backpack. And we visited one area in Tehran and put them in the mail boxes. And praise God, after almost 3 years, we could distribute 20,000 New Testaments in all parts of Tehran. And then we started two house churches among prostitutes and among young people in our own apartment. And also every day we were evangelizing people and talking to them. And because of all these activities, some people had reported about us, and the Iranian government arrested us in 2009.
At which point, Miriam, you were put into one of the world's most notorious prisons.
Yeah, before going to that prison, Evin prison, they sent us to a detention. I remember it was in March that the three guards came to our apartment and they searched our apartment and they found our Bibles and everything that was related to Christianity, and they transferred us to a detention. We stayed there for 14 days. We were in a very bad condition. We were threatened to physical torture. We had long hours of interrogation. And after 14 days, they sent us to Evin prison for charges of apostasy, blasphemy, anti-government, and promoting Christianity in Iran. As you mentioned, this prison is famous for arresting, torturing, raping, and executing of many innocent people. Mm. And when we entered this prison, we were shocked because we could see that there were many respectful people, many political prisoners, many innocent women who were in that prison suffering because of this government and their cruelty. And we spent almost 259 days in that prison. Again, we had interrogation in one of the buildings in Evin prison, which is famous, and it is called 209. And every day, I can say, we were threatened to execution by hanging by our judges and by the interrogators. And we had very, physically, we were under so much pressure in that first detention and later in Evin prison.
Those interrogations, what were their goals? Were they trying to force you to give up your faith, or were they looking for the people that you were getting your Bibles from? What was the point of those interrogations?
Most of the time they tried to convince us that we made the wrong decision, and they tried to threaten us to execution by hanging, and they sentenced us. At the end, they sentenced us to execution by hanging. It wasn't just about information. We had almost 10 courts, and in each course, they threatened us to execution by hanging. And just they told us, if you just write one sentence and deny your faith, we will release you immediately.
Was there any prospect that that might actually happen?
Yes, we heard that there were people who denied their faith in Jesus and they released them. But I can say, you know, you can never predict this government, and you cannot trust them, even if they say that we will release you.
Tell me about the conditions inside your jail. Were you being fed regularly? What did your treatment look like?
In the detention that I mentioned before going to prison, we had a horrible situation. We had to sleep on the floor. It was in winter. It was so cold. There was no carpet on the floor, and we could just use some wet blankets, a strongly smelling of urine, to cover ourselves because there were many prostitutes, addicted, and homeless people in that detention. And for 14 days, we couldn't take a shower. We couldn't brush our teeth. For days we couldn't eat or drink, and we couldn't see the light. And again, in Evin prison, the condition was the same. We didn't have good food, and for 8 months we were both sick. We were suffering from many physical diseases, but the doctors refused to treat us because they believe that if you convert from Islam to Christianity, you are dirty and infidel. That's why they would refuse to give us medicine and treat us. But the most painful of our experience in Evin prison, besides this, you know, bad conditions, was execution of prisoners, which was like a mental torture for us. You know, it was like one day a guard would come to the cell, take one prisoner, put them in solitary confinement, and the day after that we would hear that they executed them. You know, we were living with those people, we were eating with them, and suddenly we would hear that they executed one of them. That was the most painful of our experience, and it was like a mental torture for us.
Marzia, were you in the same cell? Could you talk or even pray together?
Yeah, in a public ward in Evin prison, we were together, and our companionship really helped us because we could pray for each other and we could take care of each other. But when they transferred us to another building, there is another building in Evin prison, which is very famous. It's called 209. Mariam explained about this. It's a security building. There are just many solitary cells in that building, just about 1-2 meters. And they separated us in that building. And once a week, we had a very heavy interrogation by two interrogators. For example, for long hours, about eight, nine hours, we had to sit on a metal chair blindfolded and answer to their questions. And the only voice that we could hear in that building was the sounds of other prisoners whom were beating and tortured every day. And it was, Mariam explained, it was like a mental torture for us, because every day we expect them to come to our cell and take us for torture too.
Marzia, to what extent were you able to share your faith even in these conditions?
For the first 14 days that they sent us to a detention, praise God, beside those difficult conditions, we had a great opportunity to share the message of salvation with many women, because we could see that there are many addicted, homeless people and prostitutes in that detention. And I remember for the first few days, we were just praying for our release because we were so scared and we didn't want to be in that condition. But after that, when we could see that how God is using us as a tool among those prisoners, we praise God for this great opportunity, because we could talk to many prisoners. We gather, for example, in one cell, and every day we started talking to them about Jesus. And, you know, for those women, it was very interesting because they never heard about the forgiveness and love. I mentioned earlier that in Islam, it's just about the punishment. And they couldn't believe that Jesus loved them and can forgive them. And that's why we had a great experience with them. And it was like a church for us, that they could confess their sins, and they gave, some of them, they gave their hearts to Jesus. And in that detention, I can say we talked to about 70 women. And later in Evin prison, again, we had a great opportunity, and we try to show them who Jesus is, what his teachings are by our behaviors rather than our words, by respecting them, by loving them, by helping them. And they could see the miracles through our prayers. They could see this difference among our faith and their faith. And there were some prisoners that they came to us and asked us, why when you pray, God answers to your prayers, but when we pray, every day we are praying namas, but we can't get the answer. And they could see this power, and they could see the miracles. And there were also some guards that they came to us and asked us to forgive them and pray for them. And we believe that it was a miracle. And we believe that, that detention and later Evin prison became really our church, because every day we had this fellowship with prisoners. And we believe that we were more free inside the prison, because inside the prison we could talk to anybody, but outside the prison we had to pray and ask God to show right person to us to talk to them. But inside the prison we could talk to anybody, and that's why we really praise God for giving us this great opportunity.
It's an inescapable irony, ladies, that you're in prison for sharing your faith, and yet it's perhaps the freest place to do so. Miriam, share with us the story of Zainab.
Yeah, Zainab was one of the girls that was in prison, and we believe she was innocent because we could see her face. She was so shy, she was so quiet, and most prisoners like her. And we realized that, she was in prison because she was forced to marry one of her family members, and she didn't like that man, and the husband would beat her every day. And one day she was just trying to defend herself, and in the action of, the defense, the husband was killed, and she was in prison waiting for execution. And it was so sad to hear stories like Zainab. There were many other women like Zainab in that prison, that we could see how these Islamic rules destroyed their lives. And most of them were waiting for executions. And, that's why we decided to write our second book about just women in Islam, specifically in Iran, and how the Islamic rules destroyed the lives of these women.
Marzia, you and Miriam were in prison for about 9 months. To what extent were you aware that the Christian world had gathered around your cause and were pleading your case to your captors?
No, I remember for the first few months that we were in that prison, we thought that we completely forgotten by the world outside, because we didn't have any connection and we were not allowed to talk to our family. That's why after a few months when we called our sisters, we heard that many Christians from different parts of the world are supporting us either by praying and sending letters to prison, which was so encouraging for us to hear that. And we understood that we are not alone. Instead, we have a big Christian family that they are supporting us every day. And also we heard from some guards that our letters were more than their official letters, and they were angry about this, and they told us that your letters are more than our official letter, and they had to, because of those supports, they had to change their behavior with us, and they couldn't do anything.
Miriam, tell us about the day you were released.
Yes, Marzia mentioned about the support of Christians, and I believe it was after 6 months we heard from our judges that the United Nations also called the head of judge in Iran and asked about our case. And also we heard Pope from Vatican send a letter to the Iranian government and ask for our release. And there were many other organizations like Amnesty International that put pressure on the Iranian government. And we believe because of all these pressures, they had to release us unlike their desire, because they wanted to show the world that there is religious freedom in our country, which is not true. And we all know that still there are many people who are in different prisons in Iran and suffering only because they believe in Jesus.
As you left prison, what was on your heart? Were you joyful? Were you worried? And where did you go next?
I remember the day that we got released. We were happy about the victory that God gave us. But on the other hand, we were not happy because we had to left our friends behind, and we knew that how much it's horrible to living in that place. That's why we believe that part of our hearts is still there, and that's why we believe we promise ourselves and we promise our friends to be a voice for them, because there are many people who are suffering in that horrible place and nobody can hear their voice. And that's why when we got released, we went to Turkey and for 1 year, and we had to stay there for 1 year for getting our visa. And that's why we decided to write all our memories in order to be a voice for those people and to share this story with the world.
Ladies, as you look back on those days, and you shared with us earlier in our conversation how you are so thankful for God in a way for putting you inside that place, tell me about what it is you're hoping for Iran. What are you realistically praying for that country?
You know, we believe that Islam was forced to our country, and most people in Iran, as you mentioned, are tired of these Islamic rules and this government, and they are so open to hear about Jesus, to hear about Christianity. In the 4 years that we were serving the Lord in Iran, when we were evangelizing people, we didn't have, you know, even one bad experience, and all people were receptive, and they were looking. Some of them would tell us that they were looking for Bible, and we believe this is a good sign. We believe that God is using this persecution in our country in order to bring people to Jesus, and we praise God for this opportunity. And our prayer for our country is that one day we can see that Iran is a free country, and we see the young people in universities instead of being in jail, because there are many university students in jail only because, you know, their beliefs are against the government's beliefs. And we hope that women, one day women have equal rights in our country, and we can see the kingdom of God in our country, Iran.
Maryam and Marzia, right now there are innocents who are being held captive because of their beliefs in Iran, as well as the rest of the world. What would you like those of us who are free to understand about our role in helping them achieve theirs?
Yeah, we would like to encourage Australian people not to take their freedom for granted, because we believe that the freedom that we have in those countries like Australia, America, is really a blessing and a valuable gift from God, and we should appreciate this freedom, and not just using this freedom and live for ourselves. We believe that we as a Christian, we should feel responsible about our brothers and sisters who are in those countries like Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, and other countries, Islamic countries, who are suffering just because of their faith in Jesus, their beliefs in Jesus. And that's why we should use this freedom, and we would like to encourage Australian people to use this freedom and help their brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter that which country we are from, which language we speak. In Bible says that we all are part of one body and one church, and if one part suffer, other part should suffer with that. That's why we, as a Christian, we should feel responsibility about each other and about our brothers and sisters.
Maryam, share with me your God. Who is he, and how has he blessed your life?
You know, we call God daddy at home. And, we, you know, it's, when we share at churches, we always tell people that Jesus is so real to us. We hadn't just converted to a Christian religion. We believe we are not just followers of religious rules. We are both in love with Jesus, and we live with him, and Jesus is so real to us. That's why always we encourage people to experience Jesus and to live with Jesus, to have close relationship with him, not just go to a church, read the Bible, and follow the religious rules. We believe the only thing that can help us stand on our faith in difficult conditions is having this strong relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is my everything. He's so real to me.
Marzia?
Yeah, it's the same for me, because we shared our story, that how a little of our story, we couldn't share the whole story, and we have many stories with him, that how we met him, how we touched his love, and how we could see his miracles in our lives. We didn't just, Maryam explained, we didn't just convert it to a Christian religion. Jesus is very real for us. And every day we were living with him. I remember for when I converted to Christianity for 5 years, I was living alone, and I learned how to live with Jesus, how to walk with him. And as Maryam explained, he is everything for us. And That's why when we were in that condition, when they tried to force us to convince, to deny our faith, we couldn't do that. We couldn't do that because, you know, Jesus is very real for us. Nobody had forced us into this religion. Nobody, you know, had hypnotized us or teaching us about Christianity. We experienced him in our life. That's why we couldn't, we never can deny him. He is very real to us.
Ladies, you've blessed us all with your testimony. Thank you so much, not only for your time, but for your books. We'll be posting links on our pages at Open House for people to find out more. Thank you so much for your time and your testimony.
Thank you so much for doing the interview.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.